I put it on you. My trust is in you. I put it on you. My trust is in you. Lion of Judah.
My trust is in you.
Ancient of Days.
My trust. Trust is in you.
I put it on.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
Yes, Lord, in you.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it on you. My trust is in you.
Oh, Master of the universe.
My trust is in you.
Yes, you're my miracle working God.
My trust. Trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I see,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
No matter what I feel,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
I stand upon your word,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Hey,
I put it all in you. My trust is in you. My trust is in you.
I put it all in you.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
Two more times we sing. I put it all.
I put it all in you. My trust is in you.
One more time we sing.
I put it all in you.
Father, we are thankful for the wonders that you do. We're thankful for your awesomeness, your mightiness. Oh, how powerful our God is. Thank you, Lord, that you're not just powerful for powerful sake. You're powerful because you are focused in resolving the issues that face us on a daily basis. There are issues and burdens that we have carried as individuals, as a corporate body, as families, as businesses, whatever, that we need your awesome grace to resolve. But it is not your hand that we come seeking today. While it includes that, it is that we know you. It is that we know you for real. So, Lord, tonight, open up our spirits, our souls, and our bodies, and instill divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding unto us, and help us to be fully connected to you. For Lord, O God, without you we are nothing. There's a predator out there that seeks to prey upon your people. But we are thankful that you're the God who sees at all times. You see the enemy, you understand our enemy, and you deliver us and you redeem us. And so, Father, we say, thank you that you are awesome in our midst. You are mighty in our midst. You are glorious in our midst. You are our protector, the God who has graciously, highly favored us. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to see you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. And I like my mic tonight. It sounds good. Did somebody work on it or something? You did? Okay. Well, I can tell. This morning, we started talking about favor. But if you know me, you know that I don't like addressing subjects just to address a subject. I want to talk about the ins and outs, the chemistry of that subject, how it works, how to understand the workings of that particular subject, so that there's no time that you fall out of the integrity and the power of the word that the Lord has given to us as his people. A lot of people know a lot of things about a lot of things. But when push comes to shove, it is not deep within them. They've not become one with that word so that they're able to stand through whatever it is that's happening around them. They just tip over and fall, run like babies, screaming, thinking the whole world is falling apart, not understanding that God's power is present in them and that they have a capacity inside of them that will help them make it through life. So, our desire and our pursuit today is to understand this subject of favor. What is it? We know that from talking about it today, that favor is happening in our lives when sometimes we think we are in a state of disfavor. But God sometimes causes all things to work together for your good. But if God is going to cause all things to work together for your good, you've got to position yourself to experience that favor. You've got to position yourself. It's available, but there's a way it works. Tonight, I want to continue in that trend and in the weeks to come, because this month is the month that we are eating the fruit of favor. And if you don't know what I'm talking about the fruit of favor, and this month we're eating the fruit of favor, the Bible tells us that there's a tree that bears a fruit every month in the book of Revelation. And so this month we're eating from that same tree, the tree of God's life, favor. Last week, we're eating the fruit of goodness. Yes? Amen? Actually, what I'm going to see that we do next week, possibly, is that just to remind us about the fruits that we've been eating, we'll have a list of them: January, February, March, April, May, June, and now July. Now, the Word of God tells us in Genesis chapter 6, that's about where I stopped this morning. Actually, I stopped in Proverbs 18 and 22. But let's look at Genesis chapter 6. It says in verse 8 that Noah found grace or found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how did that happen? Let's go three verses before and start in verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." People were acting like we do today, thinking evil continually. And the next verse is a shocker, because it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth." So God says, "I'm sorry I created man in the earth." Well, that must really be bad. "And it grieved him at his heart." God was grieved at his heart. Man grieved God. God had so much invested in man, favored man, and man abused the favor and the goodness of God. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." I'm going to wipe man out. "Both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." Now, how is it that God, who created the heavens and the earth, who saw his son die on the cross even before the world was created, says, "I'm sorry I did this"? How bad did it get? You see, before man was here, there are other creations. There are things that existed before us. So when man was created, God said to man, go and replenish. So there was a creation that existed before that was wiped out. And now God created a replacement that was supposedly supposed to be like him. This one that I've created that's like me, unlike the other, I don't know what the other was. None of us know. Someday we will know. I'm disappointed. I am disappointed. I've given them everything they need, and this is what they come up with. So I'm going to wipe them all out. But remember what we talked about this morning from Psalm 103. Do not forget all of his benefits. God did the same thing. God, in all of this mess, there's a guy. I can work with him. I am sorry that I created all of them, but there's a guy. So God, the Bible says to us, found a man called Noah, and he says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to see about that sentence, that statement. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, meaning that grace came from the eyes of the Lord towards Noah. But I want you to see it from the flip side, that Noah found it in him. There was a loop. The man found grace. God extended grace to him, and Noah accepted that grace and says, thank you for being gracious to me. Did you see that? God's word says to us that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. It says he paid a price in 1 John chapter 2. If you may take me there to 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read to you from verse 1 and verse 2. This is what the word of God says. Watch this. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer, an attorney, who is advocating for us with the Father, and he is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, verse 2. And he is the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, not just for us, but also for the sins of the, what? Whole world. For the sins of the whole world. So from God's perspective, when Jesus Christ died, he died for everybody. Everybody. From God's perspective, grace has been extended. From God's perspective, there are no sinners here. From God's perspective, he has given to us the gift of righteousness. But you have to cash in and say, God, I thank you for what you did when Jesus Christ died for me. I receive the fact that he is a perfect satisfaction. He's taking on the judgment on himself so that I can go free. I receive that, and then I have it. Everybody, as far as God was concerned and as far as God was repentant of creating man, the other side of God is mercy. and he was extending it. But there was a man called Noah that caught it. Say, wow, in the midst of all of this, you are willing? Okay. And what did God do? God gave him an instruction. He says, I want you to build me an ark. What's an ark? If you listen to me, you will know. And God began to give him instructions. And what is the next thing he does? He obeys instruction. He's building this ark. 1 year, 10 years, 40 years, 80 years. And God is telling me, it's going to rain. 100 years, no rain. The guy keeps on building. Everybody's calling him crazy. What is that monstrosity that you're building that is blocking my view? And one day, animals start coming in twos. They're coming in. They go into that ark. And finally, God says, you too, you and your family, into the ark you go. So he goes into the ark, and then God did what? Locked. Shut the doors. Noah didn't. God shut the doors. And then it started to rain. And for the first time, man experienced rain. It never existed before. Everything was lush because of the dew. God watered it himself. Now comes rain. And, oh, wow, this is interesting. The river came to us. Let me, what are we going to do? And things that are floating. Okay. What is going to happen with this water? And then fish starts coming around. It was fun at the beginning. We can hook some fish and do some fries, have a nice Canada Day experience, barbecue some fish. And it came to the knee. And now it's up to the shoulder. They're grabbing their children and putting them on the shoulder. The rain is not stopping. Now they go and they climb up and they get on their roof and the rain is not stopping. And, hey, that thing is moving. That thing is moving. The ark is floating. But they cannot get in. It was too late because they did not see what God was showing. God was showing them mercy, and they were not receiving that mercy and seeing that mercy in the eyes of God. There are so many people that will perish because they do not see that God loves them and that God cares for them and that God understands their weaknesses and all of the issues that they are facing, but that mercy has been given. And just accepting it. All we need to do is just accept it. That's all. It's not complicated. Just accepting it. But they didn't. And so the net result is that they failed. These waters rose and went up the mountains and covered the mountains. And there's water everywhere. And all flesh died, the Bible says. Everything that moved on the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth and every man, they all died. He said, Pastor, what does this have to do with favor? You were talking about favor. How did we switch from favor to everybody dying? Well, favor says to you that you won't die. That's what favor does. You will not be part of the logistics, part of the bad that is coming on the world. Because you're connected to God. Now, let me move you away from that to a quick moment. Come with me to the book of Isaiah 58 and verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. He says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." Wow. Well, watch this. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually," and verse 11 again. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought." God didn't say there will be no drought. He says, but I'm going to satisfy you. I'm going to meet your needs while the drought is taking place. I'm going to bless you in the midst of the famine. I'm going to do something extraordinary for you. You are going to be strong. You're going to be healthy. He says, you're going to be like a watered garden. You are going to be the abnormality in the midst of that which seems to be normal. You are going to be the highlight. Dry land, dry land, dry land, drought, 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 and in the midst of all of this, watered garden. Many years ago, we went to the land of Israel, and this was not a trip that I was running, and I was working in conjunction with another pastor here in the city. And we went to a place that we had never been to in my trips. I didn't even know this place existed. We're going through this dry wilderness. And we came to this place. And there were trees. So, okay. We stopped. And they had bumper crops everywhere. The tomatoes were like apples. They had fish. They had peppers. They had flowers. They had all kinds of things. And they were shipping stuff from that place. I believe you were in that trip. Yeah. Yes. They were shipping things into Europe, flowers into Europe. But it was in a wilderness. Total desert. Where did you guys find water from? In this arid place. They said they found a little water. And they asked, "Where are you guys from?" I said, "We're from Canada." I said, "Oh, Canada, Canada. You guys don't know what you've got. Look at what we can produce with the little water we've got here. Look at this Garden of Eden in here. With little water." Well, yes, it was little water. But God was doing something extraordinary in this particular place. The area where they were. Nothing should be growing there. Nothing should be growing there. Even with little water, it is the favor of God. The favor of God says, you know what? In this horrible terrain, I'm going to show people that even in a place that is filled with famine and drought and all of that, I can bless you here. God spoke to Isaac and says to him, "Don't go to Egypt. Don't go anywhere like other people are going because there's famine." And says, "I want you to stay here in Gerar. Stay here. I'm going to bless you here in Gerar. Okay? So he comes to Gerar, and he says to himself, my wife is so beautiful. If they see my wife, they're going to kill me. So he says to the wife, you know what? When we get to that town there, tell them you're my sister, not my wife. Now, God said to him, I'm going to bless you. God has promised them children. But now he comes to Gerar, and he tells that big fat lie about the sister is his wife. Now, you can't be messing around with your sister. So now he stays there. The Bible says he was there for a long time. He was there for a very long time. And nothing happened. No children. And he sowed in that land all through those years, and nothing changed for him. He was getting the exact same result that everybody else was getting. And I say to us today that God is bringing us to that place where we're not going to get the same exact results like the rest of the world, but rather that God, because we come truly to him and trust him, will bless our little and make it much. Hallelujah. So the Bible says they were there, and this is in the book of Genesis. And he was there for a long time, and one day he was busy messing around with the wife, and the king, Abimelech, looks out and sees him and says, bring that guy here. So he comes and says, I want you to tell me something. Is that how you play around with your sister, Rebecca? Is this what you guys do? Because we don't do that here. Our sisters are our sisters, our wives are our wives. But I see you doing stuff with your so-called sister. And he says, I tell you the truth, she's not my sister. She's really my wife. So what is this that you're doing here? He says, well, I told that big lie because I didn't want to die for her. I didn't want you guys to kill me. The king said, man, you set us up to cause us so much pain, lying like this. Any of my people could have laid with her, and then we would have been cursed. Why would you do such a thing? He says, okay, please, we don't want your trouble. But they let him stay. And the Bible says, in the 12th verse of Genesis 26, it says, and Isaac sowed in that land, the land that he had been sowing in all these years without getting any benefit from it. He sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold return. And the Lord what? Blessed him. Why wasn't he blessed before? Because he was living a lie. God does not bless a lie. If you want to live a life of favor, you cannot live a lie. But as soon as God exposed him, because God was tired of the delay, that's why God exposed him. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes God will expose people in their wrong dealings, not for their hurt or harm, but because he is tired of being delayed from blessing them. So when somebody gets exposed, don't all of a sudden start celebrating, oh, God exposed them. Begin to thank God for the thing that God is going to do in their lives from that point on. Hallelujah. God, you must have a reason why this person's situation is exposed. We pray for him. We pray for her. The Lord, oh God, that you will manifest your glory in them. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. We should be praying judgment upon him. No. That's what you're supposed to be doing. There's a reason why that person who was acting like a hypocrite was exposed, because God wants to do something new in his life and is going to impact everybody's life positively. Amen? God cleans people out of garbage bins, gets them out and refinishes them. Praise God. He says, and the man waxed great. Became great, and he went forward. I thank God he didn't say he went backwards. He went forward and grew until he became very great. The Word of God says that God will increase our greatness. God has greatness embedded in you, and he wants to increase it. The Bible says when Isaac's situation was exposed, he began to grow. He began to wax great. And he began to move forward. And he grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. You know, we are living in a world and in a time where most believers envy the people of the world. And God is saying, that's not the way it's supposed to be set up. They're supposed to envy you because they see the hand of God prospering you, increasing you, and causing you to flourish. The Bible continues and it says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Every time he tries to progress, they try to stop him. Just like Joseph, the Bible says Joseph's bow grew over the wall. God will bless you spiritually, but he will also bless you in the natural. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want us to begin to position ourselves to think about the blessings of God which he wants to bestow upon us. Take the limits off of God and trust him. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the Bible tells us, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. He says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's a shield. And how does God become that shield to us that trust him? He becomes that shield to us because his word says, favor shall be like that shield. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So, Pastor, what are you saying now? I'm saying to us, you may be going through a time of weeping right now, but joy is coming. You may be struggling about something right now, but the joy of favor is coming. Hallelujah. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. And his favor for a lifetime. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. God may be angry with you about something, but his favor brings life to you. And what I'm saying to you this morning, rather this morning and now tonight, is this, that favor of God is available 100%. But you need to see it. You need to see that God loves you enough and is willing to do anything to save you, to redeem you, to repurpose you. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Someone say, joy cometh. Joy cometh in the morning. What is the morning? The morning, it's not 12:01, and it can't be that. But morning here is more specifically at the rising of the sun. That's when we say it's morning. But morning actually started at 12:01. Yeah? It's a new day. And what does God tell us about midnight? Midnight time is a time of change. No matter what is happening, change is on its way. Now, depending on where, what time of the year you are, we're in summer now, at 9 o'clock, it will still be bright outside. At 10 o'clock, it will still be bright outside. So, the time of darkness, night time, can be as short as 2 hours or 1 hour before you get to the new day. Hello? And I believe that that's what God is doing for us. The time of darkness is getting short, and God is going to cross you over to the new day. Praise God. What happens at midnight? Paul and Silas, they are busy praising God. And at midnight, everything shakes. And freedom is established for them. I want you to know that the favor of God is present now. And you may be going through a night season, but it's not going to be long. Your morning is coming. And God is going to do something extraordinary for you and for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning to read from verse 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Don't let it go. Mercy and truth. It says, bind it to your neck. Write it upon the table of thine heart. Why? So shall thou find favor. That's how you're going to find favor and good understanding. Where? In the sight of God and in the sight of man. You're going to find favor. Because you bind mercy and truth to your neck and you write it on the tables of your heart. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, based on the word of God, that God is saying to you and I, be a person of mercy and be a person of truth. Write it on your heart. Make the decision, I'm going to be a person of mercy and I'm going to be a truthful person. He says, when you do those two things, mercy and truth, you're going to find favor, and you're going to have good understanding, and you're going to find it in the sight of God and the sight of man. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 that Jesus found favor in the sight of God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature or influence and wit in favor with God and man. So if that is true, then he must have bound to his heart and written on the tables of his heart mercy and truth. Will you accept that? Yeah. And in fact, he actually said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God says, favor releases life to us. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and see what the Word of God says in verse 6 concerning the way. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He will show you what to do, how to do it, which way to go. In Psalm 90 and verse 7, God's word talks about favor, the favor of God. It says, for we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. Oh, I think I wrote down the wrong verse. Let's see what verse 17 says. Yes, verse 17. Well, let me not leave verse 7. Let me go back to verse 7. It's the reason the Lord let me do that. Remember, we're talking about the favor of God. We're talking about walking uprightly. We're talking about God not being angry with us. And that, but then it says, he might be angry for a moment. Yes? Because God is not a fool. If we're doing something wrong, God will be angry. But his anger is not forever. His anger is not forever. And you can determine how long that anger is going to be by the decisions and the responses of your heart towards him. So it says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. This is a people that are not connecting with the fact that God is saying, listen, change your ways. But they keep on doing the same wrong thing and expecting something else to change. No, you and I need to repent. You find yourself in trouble, cry out to God. He will respond. But as long as you are dogged in your way and you're proud, he will show you pepper, like we say in Nigeria. He will show you pepper. He will show you that he's the boss and you are not. So it says the days of our years are 70 years. We only live 70 years and 10, that's 70 years. And if by reason of strength there be 80 years or 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. So even if we live longer, it's sweat, it's struggle. For it is soon cut off and we fly away or we die. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God, I'm tired of this. Are you tired of the difficult life that you are embracing? Do you want to change? You can call unto God. And God's response is, return, O Lord. How long? Return. And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Say, oh, we were afflicted for 30 days. Oh, course, make us glad at least 30 days. Replace every day that we have been struggling with the bliss of your blessings. I don't know if you heard that. Sit down and think about your life. How long have you been struggling? How long have you been going through difficult times? Come back to God and say, for every day that I've gone through pain, I need it replaced with the joy and blessings that you have for me. He says, and the years wherein we have been seen evil, replace it. Make us glad again. Now, verse 17, I want to go there. He says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Instead of affliction and judgment, let the beauty of God come upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What is that? God blesses the works of your hands and makes certain that it is established. Established why? For your children and your children's children, and that there be a legacy of blessings. So in essence, for every day that I've gone through pain, if I don't even live that long, those days still have to be covered. I don't know if you heard that. If I went through suffering for 30 years and I finally woke up and say, you know what? It wasn't God that was wrong, it's me. I repent. God says, now I'm going to bless you for all of those 30 years that you went through pain and suffering. I'm going to replace it with joy. So you start your new 30 years, but you live another 5 years and you die. God still owes 25 years. And that 25 years is the blessing and inheritance of your children. Did you get that? God is not going to owe you. Even though you were the one who messed up, He will reward every day of your life with blessings. I want you to hear, these are not my imaginations. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. God says, I have a bank of blessings for you. And you are going to have it one way or the other. You're going to get it all. So Isaac digs up his father's wells until they could not compete anymore. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Proverbs 8, 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What is that statement? The gates represented the place of government. It says, blessed is the man that is hearing me and is watching daily at my gates, watching to see and to hear the instruction of the day, waiting at the post of my doors. So not only are you, first of all, at the gates, you have been given entrance to come to the post of the doors. You are the entrance. It says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. If you pursue after wisdom, it says you're going to find favor in the sight of God. You're going to find favor or obtain favor of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2 restate that statement. Favor is available. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. It says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A good man. Who is a good man? A good man is a good man because he has a good heart. And out of the abundance of his heart, he's speaking good things. He treasures good things. Mercy. Truth. You're not looking to be vengeful at anybody. You want the right things to happen. He says, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Now, let me take you to a particular passage that captures everything that I've said so far. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, beginning to read from verse 19. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. It says here, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Now, when we look at the word Zion, we think about something very heavenly, something very spiritual, something so amazing. But that word Zion is about an arid place. Why does God talk about that? Choose that place. Because he wants us to know that no matter how bad and how tough things are, God can bring about beauty out of it. That's the beauty of Zion. It's at Jerusalem. It says, thou shalt weep no more. You're in Jerusalem, you're in this Zion. He says, you are not going to weep no more. He will be gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. You're not going to weep anymore. He's going to be gracious to you. As soon as you cry out to him, he's going to respond. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Well, what a powerful promise. Then it says in verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, I said, wait a minute. You're saying you're going to bless me? Why are you saying, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction? What is that? I thought we were talking about your favoring me. What is this? He says, yet shall not thy teachers be removed. Oh. He says, so basically what God is saying is, I'm going to bless you, but I also know that you are going to mess up. And if you mess up, because of that mess up, certain things are going to happen. So I'm going to make sure that I put and keep available to you the keys to get out. And those keys are going to be your teachers. I'm going to give you teachers. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. You see, the reason people fail from experiencing the goodness of God in their lives is because they don't have teachers. And God says, I'm going to give you teachers after my heart. Pastors after my heart. Pastors are going to tell you the truth. That's why you must not sit under a pastor that is going to be feeding you lies. He says, your teachers are going to be in your corner. He says, but thine eye shall see thy teachers. While you're messing up, I'm going to make sure that you see your teachers. And those teachers, as you watch them, they will lead you out. They'll get you out of that mess. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, there is going to be a voice that's going to speak to you and say, stay on track, stay on track, stay on track. What are you going to do? It says, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver. Those idols that you've built up, he says, you're going to defile them. You're going to turn around. And he says, thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. What does a menstruous cloth represent? That's seed or eggs that are wasted. He says, you're going to throw that away. Because from now on, you are going to take seed in and you are going to be fruitful. So I'm turning things around for you. Then it says, watch this as we wrap up. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in lush pastures. This is all I have for you. There's favor. But the reason you're not experiencing it is because you're going the wrong way, and I'm going to make sure I put teachers in your life that will help you see your way out. Don't you thank God for that? God gives us teachers, pastors, that will speak into our lives. It says, the oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which had been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan, and there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. When towers are falling, you are still going to be going on. What towers? The towers of the enemy. They're going to come down. Now, watch this in verse 26 as we wrap. Moreover, the word of God says, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Wow. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. So, what you would have been accomplished in 7 days is happening in 1 day. Because every loss has to be restored. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying God is set to restore to you and I every lost moment, every lost experience. God is restoring. It says, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound, God is restoring me. God is turning things around for me. Will you receive that? And shout hallelujah. Say, restore, Lord. Favor me, position me to receive everything. Thank you, Lord, that nothing that you have ordained for me will be lost to me. Everything is coming back to me. All the lost years are restored. All the lost seasons are restored. Lost opportunities restored. Surely your goodness is abounding towards me. Let your word be true in my life. I thank you that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The lesson so far that we have received is this. One, favor is available. Nothing has changed about that. Two, if we find ourselves in a state of disfavor, God is willing to forgive and restore us. Three, whatever it is that he has banked for you, he will bring back into your life. So the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, all of that has eaten up, will be restored. Is that what the Word of God says? Okay. So, don't think that it is lost forever. Because God is banking it for you. Amen? It's the favor of God that is doing that. You're not losing anything. But you don't want to suffer the pain of loss and the affliction because you decide to do it the wrong way. We don't want that. So we receive all the manifold blessings of the Lord. But remember, the enemy may be tampering with your stuff, but all of it is getting back to you. Amen? The devil may steal, but since you've identified, he must pay back sevenfold. Amen? So wake up every day saying, God, this is the day that you've made. And whatever it is that needs to happen this week is happening today. And for every day, 7-day experience. So by the time you get to the 7th day, guess what? You are at 49, which means that you're crossing to Jubilee. Did you get that? Okay. So let's embrace that and know that we are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our gifts of faith. Wednesday, there's no Bible study during the summer months, but there's prayer meeting on Friday. There's a concert on Saturday. There is this guest speakers on Sunday morning. And Sunday evening is the message on overflow. That's the theme. And whatever it is that the ministers decide to speak is what they're going to speak. But what we are going to get is an overflow of the goodness of God. Amen? So position yourself to receive all of that. And then on the 19th is our block party. And that's going to be exciting. We want to encourage everybody to be engaged and be involved in that block party experience so that we bless our community at large. And of course, the month continues on the 20th. I'll continue sharing the word of God that He's placed on my heart for us as His people. And be blessed. Enjoy the goodness of God. And may His favor abound. Amen. God bless you. Is anyone on